When Mildred opened her eyes, the world spun madly around her. She had a splitting headache. She tried to focus and was overcome by a wave of nausea. Shutting her eyes, she leaned back against what felt like a rough wooden post. It was wedged tightly between the cave floor and the ceiling. Her wrists were lashed around the post behind her, her ankles lashed to its base. The bonds were skillfully tied. There was no wiggle room, and no stretch whatsoever. As she waited for the vertigo to pass, she recalled the seconds prior to her blackout. She had been poleaxed from behind, and that was the source of her throbbing headache. Opening her eyes again, she looked up into a gaunt, unshaven face. At that moment, she realized that a possible skull fracture was the least of her worries. The Canny's right cheek was marred by a burn scar, a swath of shiny pink pockmarked skin where whiskers no longer grew. To Mildred, it looked like a near miss from a close-range black powder discharge. A victim fighting for his or her life had failed to hit the point-blank ten ring. The Canny had no eyebrow or eyelashes on that side. His right eyelid was shriveled to nothing, and the eyeball was milky white, like a hard-boiled egg, cooked in its socket by a flash of Pyrodex. The bastard's breath stunk like a three-week-old corpse. But that wasn't the worst of it. Stalactites of gray hung glistening from both his nostrils. The thick discharge had smeared and crusted like a snail trail through the dark stubble that covered his upper lip and chin. He was infected with the scourge of Deathland's cannibal clans, a contagious, blood-borne, inevitably fatal disease known far and wide as the Oozies. Mildred looked past him. There were two more Cannies, live ones. The trio had entered the cave as she had started shooting, probably rejoining their running buddies for a share in the spoils. With no one covering her back, she had left herself open to attack. The two kids were still alive, huddled in each other's arms on the dirt floor, crying softly. From stories told on their mother's knees, they knew what was coming next. The scarred one smiled down at Mildred, showing off yellow incisors filed to points. He was the pack leader, the Alpha. Without a word, he reached around her hip and groped her buttocks, not in a sexual way. His interest was entirely culinary. Mildred tried to twist away from his powerful fingers. He squeezed harder until she stopped struggling. Then he let go.
She a tough one. We gotta pit roast her. Slow fire, wrapped in wet leaves. Let it cook all day.
The other two Cannies stepped closer. They had hollow-cheeked faces, skinny arms and legs, bloated pot bellies.
Or we could slice her into steaks. Pound them flat with a rock. And quick fry them in baby fat.
The third Canny licked his cracked lips. He had a narrow groove across his forehead where the bone had been crushed by a blow, perhaps by a tire iron or a piece of rebar. Mildred looked from face to grimy face. Gray pendulums of snot swayed from their noses. Gray discharge leaked from their filthy ear holes. They were all goners. Terminal stage Oozies. There had been no such disease in the scientific literature when Mildred Wyeth had graduated from medical school. There had been no such disease when years later she had undergone a relatively minor surgical procedure and had experienced a negative reaction to the anesthetic. In a last-ditch attempt to save her life, her colleagues had put her in cryogenic stasis. That had been shortly before the cataclysmic events of January 21, 2001. After sleeping through the end of Western civilization, and a century or so thereafter, she had been revived by Ryan Cotter and the others, reborn into a strange and violent new world. Medical science no longer existed. What information there was anecdotal and unsubstantiated. Rumors and lies, lies and rumors. From her own limited experience over the years, Mildred had come to no conclusions about the true nature of Cannies or their fatal affliction. They didn't exhibit the gigantism or chimerism found in Deathland's other mutated species. Superficially, at least, their flesh-eating seemed more like an addiction. One taste of human flesh and they were forever hooked. Oozie infection only seemed to increase their depravity, giving them a bottomless hunger. In human history, cannibalism was almost always a ceremonial choice, Mildred knew. Eating one's fallen or captured enemies was a way of taking their physical and spiritual power. It was never the mainstay of diet. Epidemiological studies that might have answered the questions about cannies were no longer an option. That kind of research had vanished forever, along with the Centers for Disease Control. Dr. Mildred Wyeth stood disarmed and helpless, facing a truly horrendous fate. But she wasn't thinking about herself, nor about how far she had come to die so miserably. She was thinking about the children. The only way she could protect them was by getting eaten first. There was still a remote chance her companions would track her to the cave before the Kennys got hungry again.
I did your packmates a favor when I blew them apart. It was mercy killing. You ought to thank me for easing their way to hell. Dying from the Uzis is triple hard, as you boys are finding out. First come the uncontrollable hand tremors. Then you start shitting yourselves. You can't digest human flesh anymore, but you can't eat anything else. You eat more and more, but still you slowly starve until you're too weak to fight off the blades of your own blood brothers.
We've been final stage for over a year. Still hunting strong. Took our medicine.
There's no drug for what you've got. It's turning your brains to pus. That's what's dripping onto your boots.
You don't know shit about shit, lamb chop.
Let's eat the bitch first. Pay her back for chilling half our crew. The kids'll keep.
Oh, I got a much better idea.
The leader pulled a long knife from a sheath hidden in the top of his lace-up boot. It was a pre-dark K-bar combat knife with a black handle. Alpha knelt beside the first Kenny Mildred had shot. He lifted the dead man by the armpits, holding the torso propped upright. Using the knife's blue steel pommel, he pulped the residue of brains left in the cratered skull. When he was satisfied with the result, he tipped the man's head, slopping the lumpy mess into a tin plate.
Old Tom here is gonna have his revenge. Open him out.
Mildred went rigid against the pole. She clenched her teeth with all her might.
Open up, bitch!
20 filthy fingernails couldn't pry her jaws apart. 4 hands couldn't hold her head still. Alpha broke the stalemate, sucker-punching her in the stomach. The others exploited her moment of weakness. Baldy pulled down her bottom jaw. Rebar Head forced a thick stick crossways between her back molars. Mildred couldn't snap the stick and close her mouth. She couldn't dislodge it by shaking her head. She flexed her throat muscles, shutting her gullet, her eyes wide with panic. Then came the metallic taste of the plate on her tongue, followed by warm goo flooding her mouth. Before she could cough out the pureed brains, hard fingers pinched off her nostrils and a calloused palm covered her mouth. Mildred's stomach heaved violently, but she couldn't expel a single drop. The resulting explosion of pressure only drove it up into her sinuses.
How do you like it?
The taste of death was shrill, feral, fecal. The stench in her nose burned like battery acid. With a hand shutting off her air, it was either swallow or suffocate. She wanted to suffocate, but the choice wasn't hers to make. Her nervous system's hardwiring wouldn't allow it. Just before she passed out, she swallowed.
You've been dosed good.
Oh, you'll be hungry for long pig in no time.
The Uzis might kill me, but it won't make me a red plastic canny.
You think cannies are born that way? Shit. Which came first, the canny or the Uzis? Guess you're gonna find out. Throw some more wood on that fire. Let's get something cooking. I don't know about you guys, but I'm fucking starving.